The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back. End of another week, and that went by in about 2.5 days, maybe, something like that. There's a tremendous amount of information out there. Trying to go through it this afternoon and sort it out. We'll have it up in about less than an hour. Just a lot going on. One of the stories is interesting. It has to do with Ukraine. The Wagner boss, Prigozhin, announced that his troops are going to be pulling out of Bakhmut on May the 10th. He said they need time to recover from the tremendous effort they put out to literally capture 93% of the town now. It's, of course, there's nothing left of it. It's just rubble. But they're going to pull out, and the Russian army, he is asking that they step right in and take over and man their hard-earned positions. And they really did an incredible job in Bakhmut from everything I've read. That's one. Here's another side of that coin. The British Army now, its top general, says the Brits have only 22 hours worth of ammunition if there was a war. They've sent it all to Ukraine, just like we've done. We're 6 years behind now in our tank and artillery rounds. We've disarmed ourselves. The Brits have disarmed themselves. Much of NATO has disarmed itself by depleting its armories. They've just thrown it all away. It's really incredible when you think about it. This is all obvious what's happening, painfully obvious. The U.S. has, on tax day, let me see if I can find this story. I probably can't. No, it's not there. I will find it. Oh, here it is. Half of all U.S. income tax payments from income tax filing day have already been spent. The Treasury is down to only $188 billion. That's it. So everything continues apace. The country is being destroyed, disassembled, dismantled. It's being taken down. No other way to look at it. All right. It's first Friday of the month. That means Madeline is standing by to tell us what she thinks of the economy and our financial crisis through the eyes of her extensive astrology. That is astronomy. You can't do astrology without a little astronomy thrown in there. Anyway, we're going to hear our usual presentation from Madeline, and things are not getting any better, my friend. Not better at all.
Yes, it's looking pretty challenging, especially this month. And actually, we have quite a few months ahead of us with some major challenges. But hopefully what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to try and give a comprehensive view of what's happening with the cycles that are impacting the financial system. And then I'm going to explain some of the observable factors that indicate a major financial crash and reset are basically directly ahead of us.
Well, when you see one quick thing, when you use the word reset, whose reset are we talking about? Klaus
Schwab? Well, we don't know who's going to win this war. There's the white hats and there's the black hats. Now, I personally think the white hats will win it, but until they do win it, it's all speculation, so we don't know. And so, you know, there is the possibility that you may have to decide whether to leave your money in the bank or take it out. And
did you see the little video yesterday of people at the Bank of America, a big branch in New York, went in to take their money out? Yeah, and they were all told, sorry, can't help you.
Yep.
So well, that means the Bank of America is stressed as well. They're all stressed.
They're all stressed, yeah.
They've all played the game, and they're all seeing the chickens begin to show up at the front door now. They're in trouble.
Right.
They really are in trouble.
Well, and I will get into that. What I thought I would do first is to just sort of outline the major cycles that are sort of impacting this entire process. And, you know, and then talk about the particular details of what we're seeing, and hopefully tie the two together as I'm telling you about those details. So, first of all, I just want to mention we are still in Mercury retrograde, and Mercury is in the sign of Taurus, which happens to represent the banks and currency and values, security, things of that nature. And it's Mercury retrograde through May 14th. It went retrograde on April 21st. And, of course, from our perspective on Earth, the planet appears to be moving backwards, but that's because our planet is moving too. So it's like a fast car passing a slow train. So this period is when we're going to rethink situations. And when we've got Mercury in Taurus, we're actually rethinking all these different aspects of banks and currency and what has value and security, you know. So this is kind of the big deal of the moment.
And we're questioning everything, in short, aren't we, ultimately?
We're what?
We're questioning just about everything.
Yes. Yes, we're questioning everything, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and after it goes direct on the 14th, it's not going to get into new territory until May 31st. So just keep in mind things are slow. Mercury retrograde tends to have a lot of delays and mistakes that need to be fixed, things like that, miscommunications and that kind of stuff. So now, right before it went retrograde, Mercury was about to meet up with Uranus. It was only 2 degrees away, and it went, nope, I'm not going to go there. I'm turning around. I'm running away from Uranus. And Uranus is kind of a disruptor. So when Mercury does meet up with Uranus, and I think that's going to be June 4th, that usually indicates that there are surprising or shocking news. And so we'll have to see what it's telling us at that time. But it's going to be interesting since it ran away from it right before it went retrograde. Now, today we had the May 5th lunar eclipse. And what's coming to light at this lunar eclipse, which is a full moon eclipse, are some surprising changes that leaders are making. Now, this is Sun conjunct Uranus, and of course, that's opposite the moon. That's why it's a lunar eclipse. And we also have money that's disappearing. That's Venus square Neptune. And we have major power issues lining up. This is Jupiter square Pluto. So this eclipse is kind of like that technical term doozy. And so we have power
doozy
issues.
Doozy is a technical term.
I think Batman said it was a technical term.
No, I heard that when I was a little kid. That's a
doozy. Yeah, I know. But I think Batman is the one that made it a technical term. Mm. But anyways, the power issues, the Jupiter square Pluto, are most likely due to potential changes in the financial system. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we have this big war going on between the white hats and the black hats. And what are they fighting over? They're fighting over whose financial system is going to get to run the not just the country, but basically the whole planet.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, that cycle's actually in range now. It's been in range for a little bit. It's going to peak May 17th. And this battle actually occurs, I mean, peaks at 0 degrees Taurus square, 0 degrees Aquarius for Pluto. Jupiter moves into Taurus and immediately is square to Pluto. So this is also got Mars that's going to come up to it very shortly after. So you've really got a situation where, and Mars is going to enter Leo at zero Leo. So yeah, very powerful people and organizations that are enraged at potential changes. And they're going to do whatever they can to stop them from occurring. So we don't know which way they're going to fight this battle. That's always a question. But it does appear to be about potential changes to the financial system. And if the white hat system comes in, money laundering will be out, and those guys will be poor. So you
Madeline,
can better believe.
Question. Quick question.
Yeah?
Who are the white hats? Who are they?
Well, it's a big question.
I mean, I
don't have time to answer it, but you're talking about
they're black hats. I don't know
What's
any
that?
White hats. All I see are black hats out there.
Well, we'll have to have a conversation about that offline. But there actually is a portion of your military. There are some off-planet alliance folks. There are other patriot groups around the world. You know, broad stroke, you know, there's actually a fair number of white hats out there. So it's not, but there are certain groups that have planned for a long time to try and get this white hat system in place, because essentially everything that we see in terms of corruption and tyranny and so forth all stems back to the financial system. As long as they control the financial system, then, you know, essentially they are controlling the world. So,
of course,
you know, it's just,
I think our Jewish banksters learned that about 2,500 years ago,
a long time ago. So anyways, the lunar eclipse is basically just giving you a heads up about this major battle that's just ahead. And I think it's probably related to those banks that are sort of unexpectedly biting the dust. And we'll talk about that in a little more detail here. But one of the things that's most interesting about this eclipse is that it's exactly on the moon of the Federal Reserve chart, so which is at 14 degrees Scorpio, and our eclipse is at 14 degrees Scorpio. So, you know, basically, how does that lunar eclipse on their Federal Reserve moon impact the current events? I see that the moon in their chart is engaged in entrenched and hidden power plays. This is moon sesquiquadrate the Pluto in the 12th house of the Federal Reserve chart. So as they do this, you know, as they engage in these hidden power plays that are just always there, very, very hard to change, they're actually harming themselves, but they won't realize it until it's too late. And I'll just make a quick comment that you often hear analysts talking about the financial system and how the Federal Reserve is trapped. So just think about that comment. And
with that
who
nice
trapped
little
the Federal
old lady,
Reserve?
You mean? That
What's
nice
that?
Little old lady, that nice little old lady, and the Federal Reserve are trapped. Poor Janet.
Well, the Federal Reserve has trapped themselves with their choices. So there's that piece.
There you
go. Yeah. But also, Pluto in their chart relates to their primary products, which is the dollar, inflation, and power. And all of those are up for surprises with this particular eclipse because the Sun and Uranus are opposite that moon in their chart. So they could have some shocks, and you know, based on this eclipse. And we're likely to see some disruptive changes to either the Federal Reserve itself or to their products. So possibly the dollar. That is one of the possibilities. So,
well, when you
when
talk
an eclipse...
about, I have another question. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You have so much complicated material. When you talk about house this, house that, and
oh,
house
I'm sorry.
This, that's okay.
That is an area of the chart that represents a particular type of activity.
Okay.
And in a company chart, a fifth house represents the products and services that the company creates. In a personal chart, it's a person's creativity and things they speculate on, like love and romance and investments that are speculative, uh-huh, and things like that. But in a company, uh-huh, chart, these are things that they produce. And fifth house also relates to children in a person's chart. So, you know, they're related, they're correlated, but, yeah, you know, companies are a little different from people.
Remember the Bob Dylan song about all this?
Which one are you talking about?
The House of the Rising Sun.
Oh, yeah.
An old astrological song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. That's right. So, the other thing I just want to mention about this is that when an eclipse, you know, is conjunct or opposite a planet by exact, you know, exactly there, that gives 100% probability of whatever the eclipse is about occurring. So, you know, and it's in range. It, you know, you have 30 days before and after an eclipse for an eclipse event to occur. So that's in range through June 5th, and we'll just wait and see what happens to our banking system in the meantime. But it definitely is what I would call an on-guard, definitely an on-guard for us, because this is something that's going to happen either to the dollar or to the Federal Reserve, you know, so it's not a little thing.
We should remind everyone very quickly that the Federal Reserve is unconstitutional, utterly illegal, and was passed on approximately Christmas Eve, 1913. And many people say that that very vote in the Senate, I believe it was the end of America. They took over complete control of our constitutionally granted monetary policies as a nation and began loaning us our own money at interest. That's, again,
yep,
for you newcomers, that's,
yep,
the organization, the Federal Reserve, that the national debt is owed to. We owe $31 trillion to 10 privately owned banks. It's not federal. It's not reserve. This is
That's
a scam.
Right.
It is an outrage beyond measure what has happened here. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's completely accurate. Yes. Yeah. And it was signed in to law December 23rd around like 6:02 p.m. or something like that. I've forgotten the exact time, but it's very right before Christmas. And they had
waited until everyone went home for Christmas, and they pulled
right.
us all off.
Yep, and they had their vote in the middle of the night too. So, anyways, so now the next cycle that's happening. Oh, excuse me.
Okay.
Jupiter is moving into Taurus, and that happens on May 16th, and then it's already at zero on May 16th, but it gets to the minute square to Pluto on the 17th. So right in there, 16th, 17th of this month, we uh-huh. could see some fairly big fireworks all the way through to early June. And this is a very big deal. Normally, Jupiter moving into Taurus, and Jupiter tends to stay roughly a year in each sign. So roughly every 12 years, each person will get what I call a new growth cycle, and it will last for the next 12 years. So when you're 12, 24, 36, et cetera, you start a new growth cycle. So typically, this would be positive for the banks. They would be getting growth cycles. And but now we have Jupiter, just as it enters, it squares Pluto. So that's the planet of power and transformation. And transformation represents permanent change. Permanent change. You don't get to try it out and decide if you like it. It's permanent.
Right.
Okay, so this situation is not good for the banks. The only banks that are going to grow in this situation are the ones that buy the banks that are failing. See, permanently changed by, I mean, this is not a good situation. Another thing, though, is it's good for gold and silver and commodities in general. Oil and things like that can also be, helped by it. And Taurus is an earth sign, so real estate would normally be favored. However, you have to really be careful now because with the interest rates, prices are good for the buyers because they have to come down in order for a buyer in order to be able to afford it. But if you're the seller, you're not going to do so well. So, you know, real estate is kind of questionable. And now this big cycle, or I should call it this big battle cycle, the Jupiter square Pluto, that's associated with major power struggles and fights. And it's not just this cycle that makes this a big battle. Now, this is Pluto is already square the nodes of the moon. And just as a comment there, the nodes of the moon are not actual planets. They are calculated points that we utilize. And
I thought
and
you said the nose of the moon.
No, the nodes, N-O-D-E-S, yeah. that particular cycle, Pluto square, is a negative cycle on the economy. It's what we call a negative secondary cycle.
How long will that last? We got to take a break. How long will that last?
That's going to be going on for most of this year, actually.
Right.
And I'll give you some more details about this in a minute. But it's already, I'm just kind of suggesting we're already in this sort of big mess here, you see. And then Mars comes along and it enters Pluto, enters Leo on May 20th. And then, of course, it opposes Pluto and squares Jupiter. And then we have this super amount of rage. Mars opposite Pluto is often rage. It's really a challenging cycle. Adds a lot of anger to the situation. These planets are all at 0 or 1 degrees. They're at the very beginning of a fixed sign. So this battle's going to last for a while. It's going to impact banks and investment firms. Now, these cycles are going to peak between May 16th through the 22nd, and they're actually in range through June 10th. So,
all right, hold on. We've got to take a break.
Okay.
That's a good place to stop. We'll come right back with Madeline Gerwick. Stand by. Okay, back with Madeline, surveying the upcoming terrain, and it is not looking at all encouraging. It's a big word, showdown time here. Go ahead, Madeline.
Yes, it is. Now, I just want to make a quick comment here that the financial system it's kind of like an octopus. It has a lot of legs to it, and it's not just one thing. It's not a one-headed monster. It has a lot of heads to it. So as I'm telling you about these different cycles, you see, different parts of the financial system could be encountering different issues. So I just want to make that clear. It's not just like the whole thing will collapse at once. It, you know, different parts of it will encounter different challenges as the process continues. So I'm going to tell you now about cycles that are going to start in June and kind of run through the summer. And the next one that I want to tell you about is Saturn retrograde in Pisces. Now, this begins June 18th. It's going to last through November 14th. And planets that are in retrograde are weak. And Saturn in Pisces is weak because Saturn likes structure. Pisces likes no structure. So they're very antithetical to each other. They're not comfortable. And so the best that you can get with Saturn in Pisces is structures that are fluid and evolve with changing situations. So that is the situation that we have now. We need fluid structures that will be able to change quickly.
Give me one example, please, of a fluid structure, just for our listeners, so we follow.
Just think about in a manufacturing firm where they have a bunch of different lines, and they can quickly change a line into another product. They can reconfigure the line to produce a different product. That's a fluid structure.
Got it.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay, so, but when it's retrograde, what you really have going on is structures that are dissolving. And, of course, that includes financial structures. All types of structures are dissolving, you know, including probably bridges and roads and buildings and things like that, which, of course, is a very good point to consider if you have any maintenance that needs to be done around your property. Now is a great time to start. Okay.
Okay, so, now that's interesting. You're not talking about mowing the lawn or catching gophers. What are you talking about? Maintenance.
I have a fence, for example, that is a wooden fence that is being repainted. And as we're repainting it, we're discovering, oh, yeah, this board is rotted, so we got to replace it.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. So,
and if you just keep leaving it that way, it'll fall away. So
Okay.
I mean, just you may have maintenance in your house that you need to do, or any building. Okay, so this is another indication that we could have dissolving structures. Then the other thing that happens this is actually beginning June 21st. We're going to have a cycle that's going to hit three times. This is Venus square Uranus. This is going to peak July 2nd, August 9th, and September 29th. And that's because we're going to have Venus retrograde, which is also not good for the current situation. Basically, Venus square Uranus is some kind of financial shock. It can also be a relationship shock, certainly challenging. And while this cycle would typically be in range for about 2 weeks, it's going to be in range for over 3 months. So this is a very challenging period. Now, this may represent changes to the currency. It could represent other things, which I'm going to cover in just a minute, but you know, these are financial shocks basically occurring. And then when you have Venus retrograde, the universe is basically asking us to rethink money, values, and relationships. And it could be definitely a shock to our currency, so we'll see how that plays. Another thing that is happening, and this starts July 8th. So, see, notice how these things are sort of stacking up. June 18th, July 21st, July 8th, or June 21st, July 8th. You see these things are stacking up. Okay, Uranus is going to be in the degree of collapse. This is considered to be kind of a blow-off degree or a collapse degree, and it's going to be at 22 degrees Taurus, and it's going to be there three different times. The first time is July 8th through August 14th, and then the second time it's going to be September 11th through October 20th, and then we won't see it again until late April through early May of 2024. That'll be the last time. Now, this cycle is concerning because it tends to be associated with unexpected events. And because Uranus at 22 degrees is a blow-off, and this is any sign, 22 degrees of any sign, you know, it tends to be a blow-off or collapse indicator. So in the sign of Taurus, this could indicate that the currency blows off, meaning the dollar loses a lot of value, or that banks blow off. I mean, these are not very good possibilities, I hate to say it, but that's what it looks like. Now, it could also indicate something similar for cryptocurrencies that are not backed by assets such as gold or silver. And there are a few that are backed by gold or silver. MetaOne coin is backed by gold, and I think there's some other ones out there, too. Anyways, you know, July 8th through August 14th, that's the first of three times. Now, we have two of those financial shocks, the Venus square Uranus shocks, occurring during that period, you see. So these things are stacking up. So, you know, and then we get that third financial shock during the second one. The second one is September 11th through October 20th, and that last Venus square Uranus is September 29th. So see, these things are looking like there's more and more happening in terms of the financial situation. And then we have the North Node moves into Aries. Now, that is an indication that the economy is going to head further down. That occurs on July 18th. It lasts a year and a half, but then it's going to go down again. It's going to last another year and a half. It's going to go down again. And then it will reach the bottom March 27th, 2028 will be the bottom of that cycle. Now, I think I've mentioned this before, but this particular cycle was established when we only had data while we were in the Earth economy. The Earth economy consisted of agriculture and services and manufacturing. And we're not in that economy anymore. We switched to an air economy in December of 2020, which is more about data and technology and relationships and transportation. So we don't know. And these different economy things last a couple hundred years. So we don't know. We're just starting into the air economy. Can't be certain that this is going to continue down. But for now, it looks like it's working, and we'll see if it continues down later. If it does continue down, then it would reach the bottom March 27th of 2028, and then it would take another 9 years to gradually climb up to the peak again.
9 years?
Well, it's an 18-year cycle. It's 18-year cycle. So it goes up for 9 years and down for 9 years. It's a, you know, but, you know, there's midpoints in between.
Be sure and give me a call and tell me what happens.
Well, there'll be a lot that'll happen in between, I guarantee you.
I kind of think so, yeah.
Yeah. So now, this cycle could, of course, indicate a recession, which, according to the yield curve, it looks like we're definitely headed into one. And
I would submit we may already be in it.
It actually is very possible that we're already in it.
400 Burger King outlets being shut down every day.
Yeah.
More bad news.
Yeah.
Every day, more bankruptcies. You saw the Bank of America video, which I ran yesterday, and there were a bunch of people, I don't know, 8 or 10, 12 people in the Bank of America, big office in New York, trying to get their money out, and they were talking, well, I've got $1,200 in here. I've got $1,400. Not a lot of money, but the bank wouldn't give it to them. And no, sorry, we're not giving money out today at all. So the B of A is up against the wall, too. They're all overextended.
Well, and I think we'll see more and more of those kinds of things. You'll probably get, you know, banks will say, well, we'll give you 200 today or 300 or something like that.
That's what they do. They limit. They put a cap on the withdrawals.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to do. Yeah. So we have that situation there with the recession type thing. And we have to consider that if we do get a new financial system by the White Hats, the whole thing could switch. The whole thing could switch out of this cycle, and we could get out of this downward trend completely. because you could get new technologies and a whole jump start to the economy if that happens. So I'm not saying it's going to go down, you know, till March of 2028. I'm just saying that is one of the possibilities. Now, the other thing that's going on is...
I have another quick question.
Yeah.
Do you have, in all of your deliberations, do you have an astrological profile that we could use as a namesake for artificial intelligence, which is changing everything, every moment of the day already?
That's Pluto in Aquarius. And I will do my best to address that next month. It's a very, very important issue astrologically.
Good.
Yeah. And, we're going to see a lot of that. So Pluto, as I mentioned earlier, Pluto is square the nodes now. It's going to peak on July 28th, and this is that negative secondary cycle for the economy, which is basically suggesting transformation or corruption is pulling the country off track. And this cycle is in range now, and because the nodes are in Taurus and Scorpio, it's definitely suggesting permanent changes to the banking system and investments. Now, what's interesting about this particular cycle is that Pluto is going to move back into Capricorn, I think June 10th or 11th. And so when it meets up with the North Node will have moved into Aries. It's on the downward trend, shall we say, and for the economy, I should say. And so it actually looks like this is not just going to be related to the financial system. It's going to be related to the broader transformation of the broader economy. So it's going to stay in very close range, 3 degrees through the end of October. It's going to stay in range, but not so strongly all through the rest of this year. However, you know, because November and December could be recovery months with the holiday spending, this might have a little less impact on those months.
Well, if the Bank of America won't give these people their $1,200,
yeah,
how are they going to spend anything for Christmas?
By Christmas,
they'll be in bread lines. This is not looking good.
That's not looking good unless we get the new white hat financial system. So we'll just have to wait and see. I encourage everyone to thank the universe for having already provided the white hat financial system every single day so that we give it plenty of energy to come into physical manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to move into things that are observable facts that, you know, that could indicate or support these different cycles that I've just told you about. So first of all, the three banks that have collapsed so far recently collectively had more assets than the 25 banks that collapsed in 2008. So that is not a good sign, because this year is just sort of getting started and there's a lot more left to it. And both the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank raised rates to 5.25% this week. Now, they did this even though their banks would suffer and could collapse. So that should tell you something. And they intend to keep raising rates in order to attract investors to the U.S. Treasury bonds and keep the government going. And that should tell you something else, too. Now, after the Fed raised interest rates to 5.25% on Wednesday, our banks have bonds that are now worth $2.2 trillion less than their original book value.
Oh, that's funny.
That's a terrible amount of loss that our banks are holding. So if you understand how a bond is set up, you buy it at a certain amount and you're going to get that plus some interest back. But when the interest rate goes up, you can't sell it for less, or you can't sell it for that amount. It gets discounted to a lesser amount if you want to sell it. And why would the banks want to sell it? Because they have people trying to get money out of the bank to pay for whatever And maybe their businesses aren't doing as great as they used to, so they're not keeping as much money in the bank, So so they get forced into selling these bonds at a discount, and so they don't have as much assets as they appear to have on their books. So that's the sort of, in a nutshell, what's going on
kind
there.
Of almost cooking the books. I mean, think about it. It's almost. These people are capable of doing anything.
Yeah.
Through creative accounting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but it's a matter of when they show the market value versus the book value, and there's right. a lot of complicated stuff associated with that in the accounting regulations. Now, our banks are also experiencing the largest decline in U.S. commercial deposits since 1934. Now, why would that be? I think it's because depositors know that even if the FDIC insures their accounts, the FDIC doesn't have any more budget to rescue bank depositors. So if your bank goes down, at least in the short run, your money will be gone until the Federal Reserve prints more money and Congress gives more money to the FDIC and they get a mountain of people to process those claims. I have no idea how many months that would take, but it probably wouldn't be next week, I guarantee you. So, I think what you're watching is people are taking out some or maybe even most of their money, which will move the banks toward collapsing sooner. And because you're watching this, I think you're faced with the same question, do you want to assist in the collapse of the banks by claiming or taking out some or most of your money, or do you want to risk losing it for a few or several months until the government can make good on your claim? I think that's what's going on. Now, if you look on the stock market, all the regional banks are in red with their stocks, and even the big banks are beginning to experience the decline of their stocks. So, this is not just limited to regional banks. And in addition to the bond loss, 80% of all commercial property loans are made through regional banks. Now, this happens to be a giant issue because many commercial properties are on the verge of default because you've got many office buildings, malls, warehouses, etc., that have vacancies, often 30 to 50% vacancies, and even 10% vacancies can kill a building, a commercial property. So it's only a matter of time when these properties are going to leave those banks holding the bag, when they can no longer make their payments. So you have to add that into the bond issue, you see. Mm-hmm. And as they raise the rates every time, every few weeks, this gets harder and harder for companies to make their payments. So you also have this third issue, which is that some of the big banks like J.P. Morgan Chase bet against the price of silver, and they lost their bets. Now, they did this actually a number of years ago, and they've never unwound them. And so they've never taken their losses, you see. And when they're forced to do so, they're going to lose a lot. Now, it may not be enough to bankrupt them, but it's not going to help. And they're not the only bank that did that. There's other big banks that did that, too.
Got it.
The other thing is we're now in what we call an inverted yield curve. Now, this is a situation where your short-term bonds are paying more. They're paying a higher rate of return than your long-term bonds. That's exactly the opposite of what it should be, right? If you're going to loan your money out for a longer period of time, you should get more return for it. That's the way it's supposed to work. But that's what we have. And in fact, this particular inverted yield curve is the worst one I have ever seen, ever historically, everything. It's the worst. So what you have, this actually signals recessions. you know, in the money markets, when you see this inverted yield curve, it may take a month or two or three, but it always signals a recession. And then just keep in mind, we still have the derivative issue, and most of them are based on interest rates, and interest rates have gone up faster than anyone could imagine. And there's also the issue of the U.S. dollar losing its world reserve currency status. And for the first time, only 49% of international trades are settled with U.S. dollars. Hmm. And other countries just don't want our dollars, right, because they're not backed by anything, et cetera. And then you have the BRICS joining together. There's more and more of these. There's at least 24 right now. And they're actually considering selling all of their U.S. Treasury bonds on one night, which would, of course, effectively take out the U.S. government's ability to pay its bills. And we also have the little note from Moody's saying that the U.S. government will run out of money to pay its bills by June 8th. And all this while, you have the price of gold and silver marching up. So, there
fun
is
time.
A little bit of hope.
Fun time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it is. It, you know, I'm really trying to suggest to people that now would really be a good time to get either gold or silver. You know, you can easily sell your gold and silver back to a coin dealer. You can even sell it back online. JM Bullion actually has one online that you can work with. And so, you know, you need to have something that's more like real money, not the fiat dollar.
I'm not sure what real money is anymore. But we've got to go, and give the phone number, please. Yeah, you can still get your good timing guides. All right.
Oh, yeah. Our good timing guide for the 2024 online guide is actually available right now. And, of course, you can always get the quarterly newsletter when you want to know about this stuff in advance and get more details. And our phone number is 877-524-8300. That number again, 877-524-8300. And, of course, I do both business and personal consultations. And the website is Polaris, P-O-L-A-R-I-S, business, B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S, guides, G-U-I-D-E-S.com. PolarisBusinessGuides.com.
All right. Very good.
Are we good?
Yes, okay. We're good. You did it. You got through almost all of it. Thank you, Matt.
Got through most of it. Yep.
We'll see what happens.
All right.
Happens.
Very good. Yep.
Okay.
Hang tight.
You too. All right.
All right. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Madeline Gerwick, once a month, every first Friday, back with more after this.